Welcome to the B-section Contrast Writing Masterclass for DJ Friendly Drum and Bass Sets. Advanced Level Ableton Live. Composition brain switched all the way on. Today's mission is simple to say, hard to do. Write a B-section that changes the conversation without changing the genre. That's the sweet spot where the dance floor feels a fresh chapter, but the DJ still trusts your phrasing, your impact points, and your low-end stability enough to blend it like a tool. Think of a great B-section as second-drop energy, but disciplined. Not a new song, not a surprise that happens at a random bar. It's contrast with continuity. Here's what we're building. And a drop into a B-section, then an A-prime return. So A is your identity, B is your controlled pivot, and A-prime is the victory lap that proves it was all intentional. Tempo-wise, sit at 172 to 175. I like 174 as a default, because it just behaves in most modern rolling DNB. Let's set up the session the way DJs experience music, in phrases. Go to arrangement view. Set your grid to one bar, and drop locators that force you to think like a performer, not a loop hoarder. Put one at drop a start, another at drop a bar 17 if you're doing a 16 bar A, or bar 33 if you're doing 32. Then B start, then A prime return. And here's a rule you're going to live by. If you're going to surprise the listener, view it at bar 1 or bar 9 of a 16 bar phrase. That's where the brain expects a new chapter. Anywhere else can work, but it's a higher difficulty trick and it's easier to break DJ confidence. Now we start with A, because if A doesn't have a clear identity, B can't contrast it. It'll just feel like a random set of edits. Build your drums as a group. Kick, short and punchy. Snare, on 2 and 4, layered with body and crack. Tops, hats, shakers, maybe a ride. And optionally, a quiet break layer just for movement, not for headline energy. On the drum group, put drum bus. Drive somewhere around 5 to 15%. Boom, be careful, in DNB. Boom can fight your sub really fast, so keep it low, maybe 0 to 20% tops. Damp somewhere like 5 to 20, just to keep it tight. If you want glue, add glue compressor, but don't crush. Attack around 3 to 10 milliseconds, release auto or around a 10th to 3 tenths of a second, ratio 2:1. You're aiming for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction max. This is about cohesion, not loudness. Now you're a bass. Use the two-lane concept. Lane 1 is sub. Clean sine or triangle. Mono. Boring on purpose. Lane 2 is mid. Reese, warp, growl, whatever your track's voice is, but controlled. A very clean Ableton stock setup. Make an instrument rack. Chain 1. Operator for sub. Then EQ 8 low pass around 120 Hz. Then utility set to mono. Chain 2. Wave eatable or operator for mid. Then saturator, then a Q8 high pass around 120 Hz. Now write a clear riff. 8 bars looped is perfect, and I want you to think like this. That a riff is not just notes. It's posture. It's the way the bass sits against the drums, the density, the space it leaves for the snare, the way the sub feels consistent enough for a blend. Once it feels like it could already be a drop in a finished track, we design B. This is where most producers mess up. They pull 6 contrast levers and wonder why the track loses its identity. Don't do that. Pick 2 contrast types. 2, not 6. 2. Your main options are bass contrast, drum contrast, harmonic contrast, texture contrast, and call and response contrast. For DJ-friendly DNB, the most effective combination is bass plus drums. That's the classic new gear engaged feeling without needing a breakdown. So we're doing bass and drum contrast. Let's handle drums first, because drums are what DJs and dancers lock to. The goal, make B feel new without destroying the groove. You want that moment where someone in the room goes, oh, we're in the second half now, but the backbeat still reads like home. Option A is the DJ safe classic. Break layer swap. Add a breakbeat loop. Amen-ish. Jungle texture, anything with character. Warp it. Complex Pro if you want it smoother. Beats if you want that crunchy articulation. Now high pass it with a Q8 around 180 to 300 Hz. This is huge. You're keeping the break as texture and transient complexity, not as a second kick drum fighting your low end. Then sidechain it subtly to the kick or to a kick ghost track. Use compressor, sidechain on, ratio 2:1, attack 1 to 5 ms, release 50 to 120 ms. Only 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. You're just making sure it bows out of the way when the core hits land. Here's the instant contrast trick. In B, bring that break up by 2 to 4 dB and slightly reduce your clean hats. That swap alone can make the whole section feel like it stepped into a new era, while the mix stays predictable. Option B is also super mix-friendly. Snare character switch. Keep the same snare timing, but layer a second snare in B only. A snare is tight crack. B snare layer is longer tail or noise body. Fade it in right at B bar 1, and kill it at a prime. In Ableton, that's easy with drum rack and chain volume automation, or just track volume if you keep it simple. Now, the bass contrast. This is where you win big or you lose the floor. The key concept is posture change, not random new patch. Same bass family, different attitude. That posture can change via rhythm density, formant or filter movement, register or stereo width. But you're not abandoning your sonic identity. You're taking the same character and putting it in different lighting. Here's a practical method in Ableton. Duplicate your mid-bass track. Rename it mid-bass B. Your sub lane stays consistent. That's a major DJ-friendly anchor. Let mids do the talking. Sub keeps the blend stable. On mid-bass B, add this chain. Auto filter, low pass 24 dB. Start cutoff somewhere between 600 and 1.5K. Add a bit of drive, like 5 to 20%. You can add a touch of envelope if you want it to bite on note attacks. Then saturator, analog clip, drive 3 to 8 dB, soft clip on. Optional redux. Tiny, downsample 1.2 to 1.8, bit reduction near zero. This is edge, not destruction. Then EQ8, control the low mids around 200 to 400 if it's getting thick, and dip harshness around 2.5 to 4.5K if it starts screaming. Then utility, width somewhere between 80 and 120%. And make sure bass mono is on up to around 120 Hz. Now write the B riff as an answer to A. If he's busy with 16 THS, make B more half-time stabs. If he's sparse, make B it a rolling syncopated variation. The contrast should be readable without adding a million new layers. And again, keep the sub pattern consistent, at least for the first half of B. That is one of your strongest anchors for DJ friendliness and for dance floor stability. Next, you need B to announce itself immediately, not with a full breakdown. With one bar of clear signaling. At the end of A, the last bar before B, pick two transition moves. You can do a micro drum fill, like a 1/16 snare rush. Super short. You can do a reverb throw on a snare hit. Set up a return track called FX throw. Put hybrid reverb on it. Algorithmic. Decay around 1.2 to 2.5 seconds. High cut around 6 to 10K so it stays controlled. Then EQ8 high pass around 200 to 400, and a compressor sidechained from the kick, 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction, so the tail pumps out of the way. Or you can do a bass mute gap, like an eighth note or quarter note of silence. Silence creates drop gravity. That tiny vacuum right before B makes the new section feel bigger, without adding loudness. Now we arrange B for DJ blending. Here's the pro rule. The first 8 bars of B are safe. Safe doesn't mean boring. It means blend safe. Stable kick and snare, stable sub pattern, predictable phrasing. In B bars 1 to 8, you introduce the new bass tone gradually. Filter it in. Bring the break in lightly. Keep the fundamentals trustworthy. Then B bars 9 to 16 are your statement. Full new bass riff, break layer up, hook stab or vocal chop if you want. And then a fill at the end that points clearly back to A prime. Teacher note, this is contrast budgeting. If your payoff is bars 9 to 16, then bars 1 to 8 should be intentionally restrained. If you blow everything on bar 1, you've got nowhere to go, and the section starts feeling like it's running out of headroom and ideas. In Ableton, this is where automation lanes do the heavy lifting. Automate break layer volume. Automate the auto filter cutoff on the mid bass. Automate reverb send on a stab or vocal. Automate utility width so the mid bass opens up more in bars 9 to 16. One coherent motion is better than 5 random ones. Now, let's talk advanced coaching for a second. Anchors and decorations. Across A and B, keep 2 to 3 anchors identical. The most common anchors are the kick and snare relationship, the sub notes, and the overall loudness counter. If B feels like a new track, you probably changed an anchor. Also, a / B contrast should be audible at 3 distances. On a club rig, sub posture and drum density. On monitors, mid-bass phrasing and break texture. On a phone, snare and hats pattern, plus hook timing. Here's a fast reality check. Put utility on your master and set width to 0 for 10 seconds while listening to a then B. If B disappears, your contrast is mostly stereo drama, not musical decisions. Fix that by making the rhythm, the articulation, or the transient picture change in mono. If you want an advanced variation that feels insanely pro, micromodulation contrast. Keep the bass MIDI identical in B, but change the grammar. Shorter note lengths, velocity map to filter, tiny glide changes. The DJ hears the same tune. New attitude. That's high level writing. Another advanced one. Negative space B section. Instead of adding, remove something structural for 4 to 8 bars. Drop hats to minimal offbeats, simplify mid-bass to call only, then bring the response back at bar 9. In rollers, this is deadly because the room fills in the missing energy, and when you reintroduce it, it hits harder. Now we return to A prime, and this matters. A prime should feel like a win, not a loop. Pick a strategy. You can bring a bass back but keep B's break energy. That's a classic. Or keep a bass but add a B countermotif as a response. Or keep a bass but alter the last two bars so it pushes forward like a real arrangement. A practical move at prime bar 1. Add a subtle ride or shaker layer, add a tiny pitch down impact one shot, and increase drum bus drive by just 1 or 2%. Small moves, big psychological effect. Quick list of common mistakes to avoid as you do this. Don't make B a new song. Don't change key, drums, bass, and vibe all at once. Don't lose phrase discipline with weird length sections or changes at bar 6. Don't change the sub too much. People feel that instability even if they can't name it. Don't overfill the drums. If every two bars has a fill, nothing feels special. And don't start a width war in the low mids. Wide res plus busy break equals mush. Control 200 to 500 HC with EQ and utility. Before we wrap, here's a tight 20 to 30 minute practice sprint you can do right now. Take an existing 32 bar drop loop you already have. That's your A. Create a 16 bar B immediately after it. Pick exactly two contrast levers, like break layer plus snare switch, or bass posture change plus texture change. Constraints. Keep the sub pattern identical for the first 8 bars of B. Add one transition fill into B and one into A prime. B must be 16 bars. A prime must be 8 bars. Then export two quick references, a to B to A prime only, no intro and outro, and listen like a DJ. The key question, does B telegraph itself at bar 1, even if you're halfway through a blend? Recap to lock it in. A great B section is contrast with continuity. DJ friendly means 16 bar phrasing, clear impact points, and blend safe early bars. The strongest results come from posture changes, bass rhythm and tone, plus drum layer swaps. This audio version is shortened for playback.